just things for me.
All right, we're back on the podcast today with none other than Stephen Tough, our most requested guest on the podcast. He's back by popular demand.
Bad boy, Benny. Thanks for the intro, mate. How are you?
I'm good, man. How have you been?
Yeah, really good. Good. It's just this whole moto season has crept up on me a bit. It feels like it's way too early, but here we are. We're ready to roll.
It does feel early. What are we in? We're still basically first week of March, really. So it's kind of early for Australia.
Yeah, we've only just called time on summer. And, mate, I feel like it's just, I honestly feel like it's too early. It's too early for the spectators. It's too early for good viewing. And for an amateur dude who's probably had a bit of time off over summer to go, you know, tanning down the beach, it's too early to go racing. But it's on. There's no excuses. We're set to go. And AORC kicks off now.
It does. It's this weekend. So, yeah, we're going to do a bit of a season review. That's why I thought it'd be good to bring you in so everyone doesn't have to listen to my biased opinions. But you're right, though. It is like that Glenmore race got canned. You probably saw that, the Glenmore Pony Express with a big race in Victoria this weekend.
I didn't actually. I didn't pay enough attention, but for fair reason, mate. It's dry as. It was a funny summer. Well, like it wasn't super hot down south where I am, but now the grass is all dead. There's massive cracks in the ground. It's not ideal riding time.
No, similar up here. We actually had a pretty wet December and January. Like we got, say, every once a fortnight, we got a pretty decent dump of rain, like a big thunderstorm, which was was actually pretty good. But last 4 or 5 weeks, we've had nothing. And it is now, like it's feel, even though we're not even in summer now, we're obviously into the first week of autumn now, but it actually feels like the middle of summer now. Like everything is, like you say, the grass has all died off and it's hotter than it has been all summer. So that's why they canned the Glenmore race, because it's forecast to be 37 degrees down there and high winds, high fire danger. So they said that the CFA just said it's not viable to run it, which is a fair call, really.
Yeah, mate, even down on the south coast down here, it's going to be in the mid to high 30s this weekend with big winds. So maybe the Australian Off-Road Championship knows something we don't. And they have sent round one and two of the champion this year to Roma, Queensland. Now, I know some riders have had a fit over this, not only one because of the distance they have to travel from down south, but also because of what they expect to be hot, dry and dusty. They'll probably get a bit of relief up there this weekend compared to what we got down here. So the world works in mysterious ways. But, yeah, here we go, Roma.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, like, everyone probably would have liked to see it in Victoria, potentially for that reason that it could be a bit cooler, a bit fairer conditions down here. But you're right, like, if it had been this weekend, they would have been in for a shocker. So I think it's still going to be hot and dusty up there. But have you got a little bit of intel on some track conditions potentially up there?
Yeah, have, mate. I've got some good friends, the Hicks family that live in Roma. Had a brief chat with Jet this morning, and obviously they're pretty excited about it, mate. It's a pretty strong moto town. They really enjoy their motocross and desert racing and pretty much anything they can get their hands on. So they want to put in a big effort. From what I hear, the junior track will be heaps of fun. Starts out pretty flat and some slash paddocks. They've had recent rain, so there has been a lot of grass up there, so they've slashed in the track. And it moves into some trees, some rocky climbs, some windy creek sections with some jumps, so it sounds like a lot of fun. Track one, the senior track, which is a sandy track, that sounds like the one that will probably generate the most fun and the most hype. It's in and out of a creek, winding up and down the creek banks. And it's going to potentially be quite moist after some recent rains. Once they dig down to it into it a little bit, there will be some grassy paddock areas, a rocky section, more creek, more paddocks, some pretty cool jumps. It will be dusty in the pits. That's probably something that they will struggle to control. Mate, there's going to be dust no matter what.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
You know, but track two, that'll be probably referred to as the rock track. Again, it'll be through a creek into some tight trees with lots of logs, flat paddock area into some thick timber, a gnarly rocky gully, which sends shivers down my spine. But those boys from the northeast of Vic will probably love that. Into some tight trees and some open flowing sections. There'll be some really good viewing next to the pits, which will keep the spectators happy. And obviously, you know, in between rider heats, they can see some action as well. All in all, it sounds pretty bloody good. And if you can handle rocks, sand, and logs, you're going to have a lot of fun. I know that there's been a bit of whinging about Roma and how far it is, but for the Queensland guys, it's probably pretty cool. You know, you take what you get. And as I said to someone the other day, you volunteer to do this. No one's making you do it. If you don't want to do it, stay home. Otherwise, go racing and have some fun.
Absolutely, yeah. I think, like, it has potential to be good. Like we just mentioned, like, if it had been in Victoria this weekend, probably would have been worse. Like, I just looked at the weather forecast then. For Roma, it's 32 this weekend, which is obviously pretty hot, but it's not as bad as 40 or 42, yeah, man. Which is what it's going to be in Victoria.
It was probably going to, it would have been cancelled.
Yeah, if it was down here, it would have been for sure.
Yeah, yeah. But anyway, we're off and racing. And I tell you what, there's a little bit of hype this season because we've got some riders returning, some other riders that are on the charge and some emerging. And to be honest, I think this season has the potential to inject a little bit more life back into the championship and into just the whole off-road racing scene in Australia. I'm looking forward to it.
Me too, yeah.
Mate, obviously Milner's back. We all know that.
The big dog's back.
The big dog's back, and on paper he should wax everyone, right? I mean, if he's picking up where he left off.
That's the question. Can he pick up where he left off is the question.
Yeah, but it's also potentially a great measuring stick for where the other guys are at.
For sure.
Because there's a handful of guys that are pretty tight, like in race speed, and I think it's the rider that can string it together with the least mistakes. Obviously, that's racing, but yeah. Over the whole season. But who knows? I mean, this is a fresh start. It's a new year. Some riders have changed. Brands are on new bikes. They're in different classes. This is shaping up to be a belter.
It is. There's a lot of good storylines in there, and it, like you say, it just makes it exciting for a change. Not for a change. Like it has been good the last couple of years, and I feel like the level has elevated a little bit. Like most of those guys in that top five, that top 10, have improved over the last 2 years since Milner's gone overseas. So it will be real interesting to see where they all stack up at this first round.
Yeah. So, mate, give me some juice. What do you got? What have you heard? What do you know?
Well, the Milner thing, like, what my only question there would be is, like, he's, like you said, he's obviously, he is very consistent. So, like, if you look at his results in years gone by, he's always there. Like, he very rarely makes a mistake, doesn't have DNF. So he's got that consistency thing dialed. He was on a fully factory-backed team, though, previously. So now he's running his own deal, which basically everyone in Australia now is running their own deal. So, like, that's a pretty big step in terms of the back end and the organisation, the logistics. It's a whole other level of stress, I suppose, that comes with getting to a race.
Yep.
So it'll be interesting to see, like, how he deals with that. And, like, I think the speed's going to be there, obviously. I think it's going to be close, but it just depends if you can bring all those pieces together, like coming off a factory back deal, what that sort of looks like now.
Yeah, mate, I think he's been around long enough that he knows how to win. He knows the processes. He knows what he wants in a bike. He knows how to work hard. I think he's got all the ingredients there. However, he's been winning for a long time. And, you know, we all get older. Time moves on. So I'm really, really keen to see how he goes. I hope he's got the full mungle of Milner of days gone by, and he really bloody lays it down hard, because, you know, he's either going to match the speed of the boys that have been winning for the past 2 years, or he's going to wipe the floor with them and potentially drag them up to his level.
Yeah.
I can't see him being beaten by a large margin. I just think he's too good for that.
No. And
he's the kind of guy, he would be that pissed off with himself that he would just work himself to win.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Because he knows how to win.
Oh, 100%, man. I hope that it's close. Because, like, you look at, like, years gone by when him and Chucky were battling, like, they were putting minutes on the rest of the field.
Yeah.
So it was like them and everyone else was just racing for third place, essentially.
Yeah.
So I just hope it's close. Like, I definitely don't think he's going to get spanked. He's like you say, he's either going to wax everyone or it's going to be tight. I just hope it's tight and we get some good racing all year.
If you can see someone or a number of riders that could beat him, who would it be? Can you say it? Or we just got to wait and see? What are you thinking?
Well, it's hard to say at the first round. Obviously, Kyron and Jonty would have to be up there as the two. Like, they were the two fastest riders last year, I think.
Yep.
Consistently.
Yeah.
So you would have to put those two at the top. Then you've got Andy, Riley, Corey, Will Dennett's coming up. Like, he won some tests outright last year. He's on it back to the field now. So that could go either way. Like, he's got a bit extra pressure there, but he could also just step up and like, he's at that age where he's going to be progressing. So who knows? Like, I'd say Kyron and Jonty, obviously your favorites there, but then you've got like five or six other dudes that, depending on how they go, could potentially put it up there as well.
Yeah, mate. It's an interesting topic with the two Tassie boys. I mean, like you say, I do take nothing away from Greeny. You got the chocolates last year, but he's out of that now. He's not part of the equation anymore. So, I'm enjoying this battle of the two Tassie boys. They seem to be quite opposite, really, in the way they go about their business and the way they ride as well.
Yeah,
but they're the ones that are up there and pushing it, and it's really cool. So I don't know if one of them will take the reins and really romp away with it or not. I don't know. I think Kyron's a pretty exciting rider. He seems to bring a bit more attitude to the track.
Yeah,
you can see it in his riding.
Yeah,
I'd love to see those guys really mixing it up this year.
I'm actually stoked that Kyron has stayed here, because the big rumor I heard that he was going, like, he was going to Europe to race Enduro GP.
Yeah, right.
So I'm actually excited that he's actually hung around and that we do get to see him go up against Milner and see where they're at.
Yeah, well, that's a good topic, because we know how Milner fared over there. It's pretty much a different sport, right?
For sure.
And Milner didn't adapt to it for whatever reason, perhaps as well as he thought he would. I mean, I take my hat off to the guy. He packed up his whole family to live in Europe for 2 years to dedicate himself to having a crack, and he did. So there's no shame in that.
No easy feat, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. Again, the other side of that's probably hard to judge because of the style of racing that we're doing. But
for sure, yeah. And that's like that other little wild card in there is Milner's new teammate, that Tom Buxton, who he's brought over from Europe. He's obviously a handy rider, but again, like, it's completely different riding here, what we do, especially at Roma there, compared to what they do in Enduro GP. So
Tom, he's a Kiwi, yeah?
I think he's British, maybe.
Is he?
Could be wrong. Don't know for sure, to be honest.
Okay. Like you say, he's a wild card. We don't know what he's capable of.
No, that's right.
I saw him cutting some laps at a moto track the other week, and He had some speed about him, but I mean, that's just, you know, peeling laps around a moto track. So yeah, it'd be interesting to see him. One other rider that is really worthy of a mention, and one that it can set a cat amongst the pigeon on his day, is Andy Wilkes.
Yeah.
He's jumped ship to, he's on a beta this year on a 350, I believe, in
So,
E2.
correct. Yeah, he will be on the 350 at this race. He's got the option, obviously, the E2 class is up to 450, and Beta do run a, is it a, you know probably better than I do, is it
430.
390? Is it?
390 and a 430.
Yeah, so I think the two that he, because he's tested a little bit with them, the two that he was tossing up between was the 350 or the 390.
Yeah, right.
So he's gone with the 350 for this green.
He on his day, he's as fast as anyone, and
Correct. Yeah.
he's capable of wins. We've seen that. He's perhaps a bit unpredictable, or just perhaps hasn't matured enough to piece it all together to make it all work yet. He's got speed.
Well, he just had a rough year injury. He popped his ACL at the
Yeah,
start of
he's
the
had a knee
year.
rego.
He rode the entire season last year with no ACL. So it was sort of touch and go through the whole season. So yes, he has had ACL Rico. So he hasn't had a lot of bike time, but he's only been back on the bike for 10 days.
So, well, I guess we can only expect him to work his way into the season.
Correct. That's the goal for him. He's not planning to sort of set the world on fire this weekend, just get through this round, get some decent points, and then he'll keep building through the year.
Now he's on the beta with a bunch of other guys, from my understanding. Is that one team or is that two teams under the beta banner?
As far as I understand, it is like they're calling it the beta team, but each sort of rider's got their just individual
Oh,
thing going on.
okay. All right. Well, regardless of that, it's great to see Beta stepping it up, whereas
100%.
most other manufacturers have really pulled it back, other than Yamaha, of course.
Yeah, definitely.
They've maintained their factory level effort, but Beta have gone, hey, you know, let's have a real crack at this. It's awesome. It's only good for the sport. They've got a great product, and I'm hoping that they've got a pretty strong lineup too of riders. I don't think they've got a championship winner. They've probably got podium guys in classes, perhaps,
Well,
but I
is
don't think
it
that.
Fraser or Jai is on the E3 class? Which one of them, or are they both in the E3 class? You could look it up. It's on that Instagram post, but
I'm not sure.
either one of them is in E3. So like E3, obviously you've got Riley in there who's going to be fast, but like Fraser's fast, man. Like again, he's just one of those, he doesn't seem to be able to put it to like that
No.
consistency thing. Like he's a loose unit, but he's got that speed there. So
He's a
like
loose
you
unit.
don't know, he has put
Actually,
his.
you're right. He's on a 480. Yeah, so he's in E3. Mate, he's such a good rider, and I enjoy watching him ride. I honestly believe that guy could be anything, but
For
I
sure.
don't know what his life circumstances are or whatever. I don't think he's 100% racer mode. I think he does other things. But yeah, he's on a 480. So E3 might be a good fit for him. Small guy, big bike. But yeah, and Jai, you're right. Jai Dixon, he's on a 480 as well. So they're probably stacking E3, hoping for a
Yeah.
championship there. Yeah, it's possible.
Potentially, like if, yeah, not to say like that E3 is an easy class by any means. Like I say, you got Riley in there who's a like
No.
he's a contender this year. So
Just on him, I have heard about 100 different pronunciations of his surname. So once and for all, for the listeners, go for it.
Riley McGilvray, is that who you
There you
mean?
go.
McGilvray, yeah.
I just hear the dumbest thing, and I'm like, well, what? Am I dumb? Am I getting it wrong? But back to Beta, we've got Ben Kearns. He's a name that's been around for a while. For a young
Well,
guy,
interesting, like
he sort
honest,
of.
you probably know more about him than I do, man. Like honestly, I'd never heard of the dude because I was out of racing the scene a bit in that time where I think he was sort of And then he had a couple of years off. And then I watched, looking at the 4 day times last year, I'm like, who's this dude that just won the first test? And it was him.
Yeah, mate, he can ride. He can ride. He's been around. He was a fast junior guy. He's got a really supportive family. His dad's riding to racing.
Yeah.
And he actually went and rode a season in Europe to do the World Enduro Championship. I reckon it was 2016.
Yeah.
Paid for a ride with Sherco when Phillips was there. So I mean, he's got experience. He's been around. He's fast, but yeah, I don't think he's got the killer instinct to be doing any outright winning. But it's good to see that he'll be on the 390 in E2.
Yeah. Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
Like I say, he's another one that could be anywhere from that sort of P5 to P10 area.
Yep. Yeah, 100%. And I think he will be. Be interesting to see how well Jai Dixon goes. He's one that if he's done the work, he could really upset a few people in E3.
He could, yeah. He was in E3 last year as well on the gas, I'm pretty sure. I feel like he's come from that motocross background, like he obviously does well at Hadar, those type of faster sort of open tracks. I think the more technical off-road, he kind of struggles a little bit. But, yeah, you're right.
Okay.
He's a good rider, no doubt. Like he could definitely. That's the thing at this first round, right? You never really know, like who has put in the work. Like
why it's so exciting. I love it.
We get a pretty long off season or preseason or whatever you want to call it in Australia. So, like all these guys have been out there working, they're all coming into this race thinking that they can put it up there. So, it'll be cool to see.
Mate, we've got Bo Ralston making a return to the championship via his ride with the Empire Kawasaki team.
Yeah, correct.
So Bo's a bit of a journeyman of the sport. He was a pretty decent motocrosser, and then he was picked up by Yamaha to race the off-road championship, which he did for a number of years under AJ Roberts and his team. He's a pretty tough customer. Like he's a big, strong guy. He knows how to ride. He's always been competitive, but he's never been at the top, like right at the top.
So I didn't know. I read that AORC media release just this morning to do a little bit of research, like 3 minutes before we got on this call. But it said he won the E2 title in the championship in 2016.
Yeah, he possibly did, mate.
I didn't know that. I knew he'd done well at Fink and Hatter and these types of events. I didn't know he'd actually won E2 in the AORC. So that's pretty.
Yeah. Handy. Oh, mate, that's never to be discounted. Absolutely. Who was doing the damage then? Outright 16.
Oh, it would have had to have been Milner still, wouldn't it?
Was that in the midst of Milner and Chucky?
I would say so. That was when they sort of started.
But Bo's back, which is cool. He's a concreter by trade, so the guy knows how to work hard.
Yeah.
Hopefully he can run it up there and give Cowie a bit of representation at the front of the field. But yeah, it's good to see him back. I mean, it's such a difference. You got guys like Bo, and then you got the young dudes that are just coming through. It's a pretty cool mix. I think those young guys are probably riding on hope and talent, and the old boys are trying to run off smarts and being a bit tougher than the kids because they've been through it all.
Correct, yeah, and I guess the cool thing where we get to see that come into play a little bit too this year is to the next two rounds in Victoria. So we're going to get some three-hour cross-country racing back into this series again, which is what everyone wants to see. So,
well, it is, mate.
You say, that's when it comes, the experience, that sort of the grit, the toughness comes into play in those races. So.
Yep, absolutely it is, and I love it. I mean, because you're not just racing the clock and racing yourself, you're racing other dudes, and there's so much more strategy that comes into it than just going balls to the wall for a five-minute sprint. Yeah. I mean, you got to ride that smart too or you end up on your head. But, yeah, three hours. It's a different sport. People don't realise that. Someone asked me just last week, they said, what's off-road? I said, oh, have you got 5 minutes? Because I need to explain this. It's like, what's football? And that's the cool thing about what we do and what our riders do, and the fact that they're so good at it, they're not just one thing.
For sure, it's, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
it's why I love this sport. Sprints are cool. Sprints are fun. But, yeah, you know, when you've got your cross-country, man, they're just soul destroyers, those things. But they're so much fun as well. And then, I don't know, perhaps time card enduros are a thing of the past other than a four-day. We're not even having that this year, are we?
No, apparently no one. They couldn't get a club to put a hand up for it, so it's off the menu, which is a little bit sad, I suppose. Yeah.
It is a bit sad, but also, mate, the emergence of the Australian GNCC, Grand National Cross Country Championship, we've got, what, 3 rounds scheduled this year?
That's the plan this year, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so people are talking about it already. Someone called me this morning about it. You know, like we've just said, cross countries is something that we're all looking forward to, and I think GNCC is probably going to fill the gap. Nothing's forever. Times change. To run a four-day is a hell of an effort. You need so much more than a club full of workers to make that work. You need local councils. You need your state roads governing body. You need the police. It's a huge, huge undertaking. So you can understand why it just doesn't happen. As much fun as they are to ride, it must be a bloody nightmare to run.
It would be, absolutely. Yeah, it's a massive effort just to run a one-day event or a weekend event, let alone something of that magnitude. It's crazy. And most of those people are doing it for free. They're doing it for the love.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
Not paid to do it, so.
And love doesn't pay the bills.
Yeah. So, yeah, it'll be, like, obviously we would all like to see it come back around the four-day for sure.
Yeah, yep. So, mate, back to this weekend, I'm asking you the hard question. Give me the 1, 2, 3 outright.
Oh.
Come on.
1, 2, 3?
Yep.
Tough call. It'd be hard to bet against Milner. I'll have to go Milner, Jonty, Kyron.
Mate, I just wrote down the same thing. I literally did. I did. Wow. There you go.
That's what I'll go with. And I'll put a biased Andy in fourth.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Yeah, I reckon that's probably going on previous, on what we know and previous results, that's what I'd probably go with, but.
Like, mate, that's all we've got to go off at the moment. I just hope that there's good, clean racing, and I hope that there's no unnecessary drama and that everyone stays safe and healthy, because that's what's going to make a great championship. But, yeah, I've got Milner out front. I think he's going to pick up where he left off. He's got a point to prove. He hated not winning the past 2 years. He hates losing. So, yeah,
he'll be out.
And I mean, he's not old by any stretch, but he's at the tail end of his career, one would think, just because, you know, it's not an old man sport. I got Milner coming out on top. I think Jonty's going to have a bit of a point to prove after some controversy last year around some racing incidents that happened.
We haven't discussed that. We can talk about it if you want.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I think that happened after the last episode of Tough Talk.
Yeah, I think you might be right. Okay, so since the dawn of time, I'm not a dinosaur yet, but I'm getting there. Ever since I've been involved in off-road racing, there has been riders that have taken advantage of track conditions or spaces where you can cut the track and make up time. It happens all the time.
Hotlines.
Hotlines, or often referred to as hotlines. So sometimes the track's poorly marked. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes I've ridden past something and not seen it, and I'll come back the next lap and go, how did I not see that? And a smarter rider will have seen it, but still within the rules, within the boundaries. So anyway, last year, Jonty was alleged to have cut a track. Plenty of us saw it. It was posted on social media. The bunting was down. It was pretty clear that he did. The question then became, was it intentional or was it not? It blew up pretty big on Instagram. It was pretty entertaining to read the arguments and people backing whoever for whatever reason. I got a bit of a chuckle out of it, to be honest. Benny?
Well, look, I think I what you and I had a little bit of a message to and fro when it happened, and like shit happens, I say, like if you actually do overcook a corner and go through some bunting, like fair's fair. But if you intentionally cut the track, like intentionally go through some bunting or cut a corner off, then yeah, I'm not cool with that. That's not okay in my mind. The track's the track and everyone's racing the track. So, but yeah, that's the million-dollar question is, was it an accident or was it intentional, like you say? So no one's ever going to know the answer to that question. So,
yeah, mate, you would have seen it even at Hatter in the past. I've seen sections of track that have been cut, and there's like 50, at least 50 bikes gone through there. And when I look at the amount of traffic that's gone through there, I take it.
Yeah.
I go there because I'm like, well, that's the race line now.
Yeah.
Sure. You know, it's not like one or two bikes have been through. It's like easily 50. So yeah. If I'd have ridden on that section of track that we saw Jonty cut last year, I would have taken it.
Well, that's the other thing I thought, like looking at that specific section of track, like the way they bunted that track is asking for that to happen. That dog leg didn't need to be there. That could have just been where he rode, could have been the main track.
Yeah. Yep.
So why put those things in there where you know people are going to overcook it under brakes and blow through the bunting and it's going to end up getting straight lined? They need to have something there like a round bale or something, an immovable object, so you can't go through it. In those situations, I think it does come back to the track marking a little bit, and then as well with how you mark it out.
Well, Josh Green spoke pretty loudly about this circumstance, the one we're exactly talking about with Jonty, and interestingly, he's up in Roma this weekend as a track inspector. So Greeny's pretty staunch. He lives by the sword, and he might die by the sword. Now's his opportunity to, as he said, he has given a lot back to the sport, and he still does. This is his opportunity to set things straight and perhaps iron out those little things on track setups. He's got a lot of experience, so I reckon it's probably a really good thing that they've got him there for that, and hopefully it works out. Because I think when people cut a track, they either do it intentionally to cheat, to gain an advantage, or they're really dumb, and there's surprisingly some pretty thick riders out there that are just dumb and they don't see stuff. They get perhaps white line fever and they're just racing. They don't actually comprehend that what they're doing is cheating.
Yeah.
Or it's a mistake. They've blown through a corner.
Yeah.
And rather than lay it down and potentially hurt themselves, they run through the bunting. That can happen.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. But no, I think you're right. Like, he's the man for the job.
Yeah.
He put it out there on social media. So now, like you say, it's his opportunity to, ideally speaking, we shouldn't have any of those situations happening.
Yeah. But mate, it's happened forever. It's happened forever. It's going to happen again. It's one of those things that happen in the sport. I mean, people aren't supposed to get knocked out in AFL either, but it happens. These things happen.
Yeah.
I think the thing that upset people the most was the question of rider integrity. And, you know, I think some people took that to heart a bit, got a bit upset and carried on, but whatever. I mean, it was, in my opinion, it was the most exciting thing that happened in ARC last year. It was a bit of a benign season. It got everyone talking, and right or wrong, for the wrong thing or not, people are like, oh, ARC. No one else talked about it for the rest of the year. So I saw it as a positive. Whatever, let's go race and
Absolutely. We need a little bit of that colour, bit of that
Yeah,
banter.
we do, mate. We do. And I mean, start of the season's cool, and Milner can probably take responsibility for that. He's back, so everyone is amped to try and beat him. Good luck to him. Can't see it happening.
Like I say, I just hope it's close. I just hope it's like there's a few seconds in it, not a few minutes.
Yeah, mate, I don't reckon it will be. It'll be closer than people think.
I think so, yeah. I
Like
think
you
they're.
say, the days of the full factory supported teams are over, bar Yamaha. Props to Yamaha for maintaining the rage there. Those guys are awesome, and what they do for the sport is unbelievable. But who's Husqvarna's rider? Who's doing that?
So the Husky culled their team, which was Stefan and Emily, as far as I understand, and now Simford is basically the Husky team.
Right. And so Gas is still on with Corey?
Just Corey, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, right. So is he,
That's
what
what I
class is he riding?
Corey.
Yeah.
He won.
He won. Okay. Geez, he's got to be a favorite for that, doesn't he? Behind
Well, yeah, him and Kyron,
Kyron.
for sure, absolutely.
Yeah. We overlooked Corey. I think he's a rider with great potential.
Oh, 100%, yeah. I named him in that other bunch of riders for sure. That's, like I say, he's definitely got the potential there. So if he's done putting the work, which, like we all know, he works hard as well.
Yeah.
I think he's just one of those, it's a consistency thing with him. Like some days he's fast, some days he might
Yeah.
be in it.
Yeah. He's probably got a bit of maturing to do in that regard, but he's also a pretty busy guy. Like he's a serious threat at the Fink Desert Race,
Oh, for sure.
that event deserves its own respect. Like some guys only do that race, so he's AORC as well, and if he's going to race the GNCC championship, he'll be a threat there too, because he's not afraid to hang it out for
Yeah.
those long, tough races.
Definitely. For sure. Yeah, he'll go well in the 3 hours for sure.
Yeah. So, mate, who else have we got? Have I missed anyone?
Not really. We touched on Will Dennett. Like he's obviously jumped on the, well, basically filled Greeny's spot at the Yamaha team. So,
Yeah.
like I mentioned, he's at that age where he could potentially, like he's still going to be progressing. Like I think he's only 18, so he's at that age where he's going to be, you would expect him to be making sort of leaps and bounds each year. So
Yeah, okay. No doubt AJ's got a big stick out and he'll be whacking him on the back of the head like he used to do with
well,
Greeny and
but
whoever
that's the
else.
thing, right? That can go two ways, can't
Yeah,
it?
of course.
He can he'll love that and it'll push him to and he'll do well, or he'll buckle under the pressure and fucking fall in a heap. Like
Yeah, well, yeah.
generally it goes one of two ways in that situation, I think.
Yeah, you're right. I don't know this younger crew. I need to get to a couple of AORC rounds this year to get my head around who's doing what and who's coming through. But you see these names, and hopefully they're here for the long haul, because it's not an easy sport. It's not cheap.
Yeah.
Maybe good to see, who's got a bit of fortitude and shows a bit of grit and pushes to the front.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you going to get to the Vic rounds, VORCs?
Oh, mate, I'm doubtful. I've got a bit of a different agenda this year. I've got some personal pursuits that I'm chasing. I've had one ride since October. So not exactly bike fit at the moment. But yeah, I'd love to, mate. I'd love to. I've just got to see how some things pan out. I'm super focused on something else until May. Yeah, mid-May. And then it'll be more bike time for me. What about yourself?
Oh, just looking when that round at, yeah, 18th and 19th, the Eden Hope round, is it? Is that when you get, when do you go to your the mega hike?
I'll be back on May 4, but I won't have bike time, mate. Yeah.
Oh, just even come watch though.
Yeah, oh, I'd
You
love
can
to.
crew for me if you want. I'm planning on racing Eden Hope, so
Oh,
you can
sick.
You can run the oranges for me if you want.
Mate, awesome track.
Yeah,
pretty cool place. And if the weather gods are on our side, geez, it'd be hard to top.
Exactly. That's why I reckon it'd be a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Let's keep talking about that, because I would love to get around it. There's nothing like race day, mate. There's nothing like it. It's so cool, the atmosphere, and it sucks you in. So if actually, that's a good point. Anyone listening and you think about going to ARC, get out there, make the effort, even if it's just for one day over the weekend. It's pretty bloody cool. And the standard of riding we've got is great. Even from the guys that are further back in the field and the old boys, you know, it's pretty awesome what they're doing. It's pretty easy to criticize from the sidelines. Get out there and have a look. It's infectious, and the guys will all talk to you, and they'll give you a real insight into what it's all about. You can see from their faces how bloody hard it is when they've come back in from riding.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it'd be good to get more spectators at these events for sure.
Yeah, it would be, mate. And for the naysayers too, like the series has copped a bit of a bashing in recent times, but as you know, it is so hard to run an event. And it is what it is. Like, I don't know, I guess off-road riders are sort of a bit notorious for having a sook about certain things. But as I said before, we're all volunteers. No one's making us do it. Just go there and enjoy the ride. And if you come home with a trophy, well, that's great. If you don't want to do it, go do something else.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. But this year, it's looking like it's primed up to be a better year for the AORC for sure.
Oh, bloody oath, mate. Bloody oath it is. And we're about to find out. It's exciting. It's exciting. It's almost like A1.
We'll be hovering like hawks over my laps tomorrow morning.
I will be.
Waiting for that first test to come through.
Oh, this is my opportunity to win. Please, please, Moto gods, let my laps work in real time or as close as possible to.
As far as I can tell now, they've got the Starlink set up.
Oh. Hey, I saw that thing last Friday night shoot across the sky. Have you seen it?
Nah.
It's bizarre. It's just this big, long, straight line of lights shooting across the sky.
Yeah, right. And that's the Starlink satellite.
And I was like, what the hell? Yeah. So I Googled it. And, yeah, that's what it was. Awesome bit of kit. Good job, old mate. What's his name again? Who invented that?
I can't remember the dude's name that's doing the time in at the Aussies.
Oh, no, I meant Starlink.
Oh, Elon. Elon.
El Musky, that's it.
Yeah.
The Musky.
He's a unit, that's for sure. He can keep his Tesla.
He's a unit, but that thing works. Starlink works.
Starlink's sick, yeah. That's what we're on right now.
Well, yeah, after our recent storm down here, we didn't have internet and phones for, oh man, it was over a week. And I think that's a straw that broke the camel's back. I think we're signing up for some Starlink.
Yeah. Yeah, it is good. Just
hello, hello, is the Starlink working? Sorry, mate, I'm being an idiot.
Don't worry, it has its moments. It's not foolproof, but it's
right.
Well, it doesn't go well in storms. Anything where there's like crazy weather and cloud cover, heavy rain, it definitely slows down. But for the most part, it's great. Yeah.
Hey, just back to AORC, if there's anyone listening and they think we've overlooked anyone, give us a shout out, because I'd love some input and some more discussion about this, because as we've already covered on, this season is shaping up to be a cracker. And sure. If there's anyone out there that deserves a mention, yeah, give us a shout out. Let us know.
Absolutely, yeah. Like I say, I just wrote down those ones that came to mind for me, but I'm sure there's probably some we've overlooked, and who knows, there might be someone that throws the cat amongst the pigeons and puts it up the top. You never know.
Yeah, yeah. I hope so, mate. I hope so. Let's reconvene after this round. I'm sure there'll be a few spicy texts thrown between you and me on Saturday night.
Definitely. We'll do a little review.
All right, mate. Are we done?
I think so, mate. Thank you.
I know. 10 seconds.
See ya.
Wrong sport. See ya, mate.